Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, 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 baby. Now don't you look so blue. I got a surprise for you, darling. Yeah, yeah, you're gonna like it too. Well, your landlord throwed you out, 'cause your rent was overdue. So I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I done it, baby. It's got a Honda generator and a Sterno stove. And there's a creek out back, darling, where you can take a bath and wash clothes. Well, your Cinderella story is all a-coming true, 'cause I cleaned out a room and my trailer for you. It's a home sweet home where we can raise hell and take a drink, baby, be somebody, be ourselves. We can run around naked without any fear. The law knows better than to come out here. I know what happened last time. Gonna pick one. A case of party liquor and a case of potted meat, and I got some stick candy, darling, yeah, yeah, in case you want something sweet. You'll forget about that doctor that you was married to, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. That's right, you'll be queen for a day, every day it's true, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I hope you like your new home, darling. Would you like for me to carry you over the threshold?
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here, and I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch, you, Joe.
And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Oh, what a crocko. Yeah. Hey, James Mostick here. Conservatives perspective, it's Tuesday, so we got to be live or something close to it, which we do Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the show that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio. Well, God bless. I don't even know where to start. this whole thing started with Russian collusion. Well, I didn't find any damn Russian collusion because there wasn't any Russian collusion. And they, by when I refer to they, I'm referring to those self-insistent bitches in Washington that we've talked about in the past. They didn't find any collusion. So they pivoted from collusion to obstruction. And Kerry the Jowl has his hearings, and they you know, again, it's a nothing burger. So they don't get anything on the obstruction. So they pivot yet again to quid pro quo. By the way, and now they're not even talking about quid pro quo. Just in case anybody was interested, that 26 seconds that we heard of Joe Biden that Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, that is quid pro quo. By God, it is. And so there it is. The Democrats can't seem to find it. They couldn't find collusion with Russia, regardless of how bold and upfront Hillary Clinton and the DNC and Fusion GPS and Nellie Orr and all these people were about it. They couldn't find it. And then they looked for obstruction. They couldn't find it anywhere. So now they've moved from the quid pro quo to bribery. Now it's bribery. Okay, forget about the quid pro quo, just that 86 that. That's gone. That's out. And do you know why it's out? Because it's not polling well, kids. No, it's not polling well. And, you know, these guys, their slavish devotion to polls is second only to their slavish devotion to their warped ideology. So focus groups, all right, are now controlling. You thought it was Nancy Pelosi. Poor old man. Okay, no, it's not Nancy Pelosi. You thought it was Adam Schiff. Ixnay on the ifshay. Not Adam Schiff. It's focus groups. It's demographics. Now, here's the thing about demographics and about statistics in general. You can take, if you took every statistician on earth and lined them up end to end, they would point in all different directions. While we're on it, let me go ahead and apologize for the pipes. The last 4 or 5 days, I've had a head and chest thing. It hasn't been real serious, but it's made me a little rattly and congested, and that's usually where it settles on me anyway. So I've been, you know, over the last day and a half, 2 days, hacking this stuff out in the course of treating it. So sorry about the pipes. But we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. Where was I? No, seriously, where was I? Okay, I got it. So focus groups are now controlling the impeachment narrative. How do we know this? Well, we found out that they're using focus groups. And of the two words, bribery and quid pro quo, bribery was easier to understand. Now, here's the thing. Focus groups. Now, when the Democrats, I'm just assuming, this is a surmise. If they're wanting to know how to sell this, and that's all they're doing. They want to know how to sell this, and they can't sell it. They know they can't sell it. But who are they going to turn to? Are they going to turn to Trump supporters? No, they're not going to turn to Trump supporters. Trump supporters ain't buying none of this. Trump supporters never bought any of this. Are they going to turn to the undecideds? No. As a matter of fact, while we're talking about that, the opposition in independents, undecideds, I guess, independent voters, the opposition to impeachment that is from that particular focus group has increased. It's jumped up 10 points in 1 week. I'm trying to see who the survey was done by. Anyway, it was taken, the survey was taken November 15th through the 17th, just a couple days ago, among 1,994 registered voters. 47% of the independents actively oppose the impeachment inquiry. Now, the week before, which would have been the first week of the impeachment inquiry with Adam Schiff, that number was 37%. So it's increased. 47% now say, no, I mean, it's a waste of time. So they can't go to the independents. Most people are disinterested. They're as almost as disinterested in impeachment as you or I. I mean, we're interested in it from the perspective of theater, and it is a show. And it's we can't discount its danger or the danger that or the existential threat, I guess if you want to call it that, that these people, Hydra, the deep state, I call them Hydra, everybody else, these Hydra people, and they are, I think, an existential threat to the things that you and I hold dear in our conservative perspective of this country. So they're not going to look at those guys. They can't look to them. Well, who does that leave? It leaves Democrats. So it's an echo chamber. Do you see what I mean? It's an echo chamber. And what they're doing is now here's where I could go full-blown Rush Limbaugh on these cats and say, and the reason they're going with bribery is because the average Democrat voter isn't smart enough to understand what quid pro quo means. Okay, I said it, and I don't feel that bad about it. I really don't. I'm okay with it. So they've changed the term, the bribery. And now when you watch MSNBC or any of these guys, really, watch how they segue. We've heard all this stuff about quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. Oh, my God. On. Like a monkey in a tree. Well, their star witnesses, the people that they coached for 2 weeks before this in Adam Schiff's witness coaching dungeon or whatever, the, you know, wherever it was, his bunker, there in the Fuhrer bunker, and he's, you know, he's coached these people, and it comes out. Well, all those leaks that were supposed to be so damning against the president, clearly taken out of context, and these fools . The only people they're selling it to are to the people that have already bought it. They're buying it again. And it's a very, very small percentage of the country. What's happened with this? The first day, last week, the first day, when it was, I can never think of that guy's name. William Taylor and George Kent. Clark Kent. William Taylor and Clark Kent. George Clark Kent. Thirteen million people tuned in for the first day's televised hearings. The second day's televised hearings dropped by almost half. 7 million. Now, to give you some perspective, I know you, million here, a million there. Pretty soon you're talking about some people. The Nadler hearings, Jerry the Jowl, over the summer. 17 million people tuned in the various media platforms, television, internet, radio, whatever. We're zeroed in. 17 million people were paying attention to the Mueller testimony. Well, that was a bust. And now we have this, the Ukrainian gate. And it's such a yawn fest that of the 13 million, I think 13 million that were watching on the first day, half of them said, forget about it. It's a snooze fest. It's a yawner. There's nothing here. There's nothing sensational. But the Democrats plow ahead. There's nothing else they can do. They've got to play this crappy hand. Pardon me a moment while I hit the mute button. Down to the last stubborn phlegmatic holdouts, but I'm doing much better. Thanks for asking. Bigger news associated with the impeachment related, and we're going to go back. I've got some terrific clips from Elise Stefanik with the questions that she had for Alexander Vindman and the chick. Jamie Lee Curtis, and then Jim Jordan got a little fiery. We're going to pay attention to some of that too. And who knows what the hell else we're going to talk about. I got some stuff on Hong Kong that's pretty interesting. Right now, this is the thing that's actually put the brakes on the whole impeachment thing. This is from, I think, yesterday, earlier in the day, or maybe late yesterday after the first day's hearings from yesterday with Marie Ivanovich. Eric Swalwell, not making it up.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
No, I didn't make it up. It's exactly, but don't take my word for it.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint
that I've
heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Uncontradicted. Did you get that? That was right before the fart. No, that's not. I didn't do that. I didn't find somebody who did that, and I stole it from them to use. No, that's exactly.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap?
Yeah, we're on the phone.
Dirt.
Listening
for
to
US
Eric Swalwell fart on Chris Matthews' show.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Oh, God. No, it's not made up. It really is. That's exactly what happened. He was talking with Chrissy Pants Matthews, and he cut one. And here's my take on Swalwell. He's a Pecksniff. He reminds me of the guy on the football team who sucked. He was no good at all. He was a scrub. But his dad had a lot of money, right? So they made him like a fourth-string quarterback, and he thought he was Joe Namath. That's Eric Swalwell, in a nutshell. And so here's the thing. When it comes to that, people have done it. People have done it. All right? Farting on TV, okay? And you know, a lot of it has been done while intoning pious flapdoodle about your sacred duty to whatever. In this case, it was impeach and remove President Trump from office. It happens, okay, and it has happened, all right? Rahm Emanuel's done it. Megyn Kelly's done it. Hillary Clinton's done it. News people have done it. Game show, okay, it happens, all right? And this is what I say. And I've often thought, you know, how, you know, it's got to be kind of embarrassing, you know, to a certain extent. You're on TV, you're nervous. You know, of course, he's a camera whore and he loves this sort of thing. So he probably wasn't nervous. Actually, he may have been just a bit too relaxed. And so then pow, okay. And he pulls one out. Own it, man. Don't be some vag and say, oh, it wasn't me. It was you. Own it. Everybody else that's ever done this has owned it. They never denied it wasn't themselves, you know. And to get to the bottom of it, one of the more hard-hitting journalistic publications out there, People Magazine, rose to the challenge and said that Swalwell's actually denying that the unmistakable fart noise was his. And this, despite that little smile, if you go to the clip, okay, little, he just, you know, he smiled a little bit, you know, like a little baby does. So according to People Magazine, it is real. You can tell the pause he takes to push it out, said someone else. It might be real. I mean, he quit talking and looks almost like he's about to laugh, added another person. And yet here he is denying he did it. It was not me, he wrote in a text message to a BuzzFeed reporter. Ha! And I didn't even hear it when I was speaking. Well, no, of course not, because when you're speaking, it just sounds like one continuous cascade of fart noise. This guy, to this point, Eric Swalwell's claim to fame was he was the first guy to drop out of a 435 candidate presidential field. 2% milk polled better than Eric Swalwell. But undeterred, he took his campaign contributions, which is probably pretty tidy sum, as they all will as they fall by the wayside. They'll take their money, because they're not giving that back. They're not refunding this to donors. He's not sitting at home cutting out refund checks out of what's left from the war chest. No, he's using that and he's investing it in a reelection bid to Congress, another try for the White House. Who the hell knows? Up until this point, that was what he was famous for, was being a jerk on the Democrat presidential campaign trail for a couple of months and then falling out. And now, rather than be known for that, he's going to be known for this. He's going to be known for this for eternity.
We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
You big dummy.
Okay. So that's Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But you know what? This is the thing, and this is where it is important for us to bear in mind. And yeah, this was, you know, a little on the scatological, I guess, borderline scatological, definitely sophomoric, and I'm, you know, I don't care. I'll wear that crown, man. But here's the thing. These people are unfazed by that. We'll have a good laugh over it. We'll have a good laugh over it. These people have no sense of shame. They have no sense of humility. They have no sense of humor either. Own it, man. If it were me, yeah, I would own it. I would be embarrassed. I would be mortified, as anyone would be. But what are you going to do? So you own it. He couldn't even own a fart, man. He wants to ascend to the highest office in the land. At one time, he aspired to the highest office in the land, the leader of the free world, and he cannot own a fart that everybody who watched it and saw it, heard it, all over the world, and now through the internet, there's no telling, and he can't even own it. He won't even own his own fart, man. That's, you know, stinks. Pardon the pun. Well, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We are going to come back. And seriously, we are going to get serious. Elise Stefanik, who has made quite a name for herself throughout last week and into this week, gives a pretty strenuous series of questions to Alexander Vindman, the spy, Hydra operative, and we'll be talking about that. We have some stuff from Jim Jordan, and well, we got a whole bunch of crap going on, man, and we're going to get to it. We got an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, if I am of that frame of mind, and might be, you know.
We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
La, 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 la. Okay, shut up. Down to the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a brief musical break, chill for a little bit, and we're going to come back with more of ACP, which you are listening to right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, a blog talk radio trivia question. I got a twofer from a great artist. Name him.
And that's dangerous. So dangerous. looking for trouble. It's got a way of finding you. Why bring it up on yourself by doing them things that you do? It gets dangerous, so very dangerous. When love come knocking at your back door,
absolutely. Anybody know who that was? No? Well, I don't know if I'm going to be inclined to tell you right now. Anyway, this is James Bosk, your service perspective on the, I guess, we're on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here. Hopefully somebody's hearing me. And we do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. You can go to mojo50.com and then click on their show tab, and you can, in the way they got it set up, it's really cool. You can go ahead and just hit click play at the top of the page there, and you'll see the controls. They're pretty user-friendly. And it'll just go ahead and play whatever's being broadcast, you know, as it's scheduled. Or if you want to listen to an archived show, you just scroll down the page, find the one you want to listen to, hit the play button. Just that simple. Mojo50.com. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the impeachment. Today, after all the hubbub settled down over the Swalwell fart brouhaha, they went back to Capitol Hill to oh God. I know you guys see it by now. I know you do. These people, Hydra, this organization, this group of individuals, these conspirators, traitors, brigands, blackguards, villains. It's like Mos Eisley. Washington, D.C. must be Mos Eisley spaceport. A wretched hive of scum and villainy, and right there on the Potomac. But it doesn't. It just doesn't matter what's going on, and you guys have to see the pattern by now. Whatever the story is, whatever the spin is that they pitch, it gets unraveled almost the moment it leaves their lips. And these inquiries are no different. Alexander Vindman was there today. And Jennifer Williams, who was a usurper. These guys are embeds. They're holdovers from the Obama administration, and they work in the White House. The White House has a staff of like 4,000 people. Well, it didn't used to, but that's the deal now. And so you have all these Hydra operatives. So they had two of them hauled in today. And Elise Stefanik she's like Jim Jordan, like Matt Gaetz, like Devin Nunes, like Doug Collins. We have some stalwart, rock solid Republicans, good constitutional conservative guys in the House of Representatives. We do. And these cats are leaders. And there are those on another tier that maybe you don't see so much, that maybe aren't necessarily on some of these high-powered committees, but they're just as committed. And it's a good thing. And I think overall we see a lot of that in the Senate. But in the House of Representatives, we're rich in good conservative timber, and Elise Stefanik is no exception. So we're pull the old girl up. Where is she here? Stefanik. Okay, here we are. This is Elise Stefanik from earlier today with Alexander Vindman and what did I say that girl's name was? Jennifer Williams. Take it, Elise.
Ms. Williams, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, thank you for being here, and thank you both for your service. As millions of Americans are watching throughout the hysteria and frenzied media coverage, two key facts have not changed that are critical to these impeachment proceedings. One, Ukraine, in fact, received the aid. And two, there was no investigation into the Bidens. My question to both of you today will focus on the following. Systemic corruption in Ukraine. Two, highlighting for the public that by law, aid to Ukraine requires anti-corruption efforts. And three, who in our government has the decision-making authority when it comes to foreign policy and national security matters? So on corruption in Ukraine, as Ambassador Yovanovitch testified, one of the key reasons why President Zelensky was overwhelmingly elected by the Ukrainian people was that they were finally standing up to rampant corruption in their country. Would you both agree with the ambassador's assessment?
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of like
and
here
Ms.
in the
Williams,
United States.
Corruption was
with Donald
such a critical
Trump.
Issue from your perspective that when you prepared the vice president for his congratulatory call with President Zelensky, you testified that the points you wanted to communicate on the call were the following. Quote, look forward to seeing President Zelensky really implement the agenda on which he had run related to anti-corruption reforms. That's correct.
That is, yes.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, would you agree that this focus on anti-corruption is a critical aspect of our policy towards Ukraine?
I would.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you are aware that in 2014, during the Obama administration, the first anti-corruption investigation partnered between the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine was into the owner of the company Burisma.
I'm aware of it now.
And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified that you were aware that Burisma had questionable business dealings. That's part of its track record.
That is correct.
You also testified that regarding Burisma, money laundering, tax evasion comports with your understanding of how business is done in Ukraine. Is that correct?
I'm not aware of specific incidents, but my understanding is that it would not be out of the realm of the possible for Burisma.
Well, that's page 207 from your testimony, but I'll move on. You are aware that Hunter Biden did sit on the board of Burisma at this time.
I am.
Well, I know that my constituents in New York 21 have many concerns about the fact that Hunter Biden, the son of the vice president, sat on the board of a corrupt company like Burisma. The Obama administration, State Department, was also concerned, and yet Adam Schiff refuses to allow this committee to call Hunter Biden despite our requests. Every witness who has testified and has been asked this has answered yes. Do you agree that Hunter Biden on the board of Burisma has the potential for the appearance of a conflict of interest?
Certainly the potential, yes.
And Ms. Williams?
Yeah, just a potential.
Now, shifting
right.
to the
just
legal requirements that our aid to Ukraine is conditioned on anti-corruption, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified that you understood that Congress had passed, under the Ukrainian Security Assistance Initiative, a legal obligation to certify that corruption is being addressed.
That is correct.
And you also testified that it is required by the National Defense Authorization Act.
That is correct.
So for the public listening, we are not just talking about President Trump focusing on anti-corruption in Ukraine, but it is so critical, so important that hard-earned taxpayer dollars, when given to foreign nations, that by law, overwhelmingly bipartisan support requires anti-corruption in Ukraine in order to get U.S. taxpayer-funded aid. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you spoke extensively about the importance of defensive lethal aid to Ukraine, specifically javelins. This was in your deposition.
Correct.
And you testified that the javelin in particular, because of its effectiveness in terms of influencing the Russian decision calculus for aggression, it is one of the most important tools we have when it comes to providing defensive lethal aid.
The system itself and the signaling of U.S. support, yes.
And it is a fact that that aid was provided under President Trump and not President Obama.
That is correct.
And my last question, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, I know you serve at the NSC in the White House.
Very
I served in the
blankets.
West Wing of the White House for President Bush on the Domestic Policy Council and in the Chief of Staff's office, so I'm very familiar with the policy process. I also know that as a staff member, the person who sets the policy of the United States is the president, not the staff. And you testified that the president sets the policy, correct?
That is correct.
And I respect your deep expertise, your tremendous service to our country. We can never repay those that have worn the military uniform and served our nation. But I was struck when you testified in your deposition. I would say, first of all, I'm the director for Ukraine. I'm responsible for Ukraine. I'm the most knowledgeable. I'm the authority for Ukraine, for the National Security Council, and the White House. I just want a clarification. You report to Tim Morrison, correct?
In my advisory,
your direct report is Tim Morrison,
yeah, in
correct?
My advisor, just to clarify, only in my advisory capacity, I advise up through the chain of command. That's what I do.
And the chain of command is Tim Morrison to Ambassador John Bolton, the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you agree that the president sets the policy as commander-in-chief, as you testified previously?
Absolutely.
Sure he does.
Thank you.
How could he not? But here's the problem. All these people that you're hearing today, and all the people that you will hear, just disagree with what the president's doing. They have a difference of opinion. Vindman, he's a Hydra guy. Jennifer Williams, yeah, she's a low-level Hydra too. But they have their surface. They have their purpose. And they're going to be used. Vindman has, on more than one occasion, made reference to an entity, a group, called the Interagency. Now, the Interagency is a group of foreign policy wonks from the intelligence community, from the State Department, and they think that they are the ones who set the tone for U.S. foreign policy. And not without a whole lot of reason behind thinking that, because they certainly did in the Obama years. And I would imagine that in large measure they have throughout many presidencies. But they got this guy, see? They got this guy in the White House that's not game for the status quo, let alone quid pro quo. So he's undertaken things in a different direction. And one of the things that have made these people mad, Yovanovitch and this guy, Vindman. Now, Vindman says he's an expert. He is the guy when it comes to Ukraine. Okay? He's Ukrainian-American, whatever the hell that means. Okay? It's heavier on the Ukraine side than it is the American. So, he is supposed to be the guy, to hear him say it. He's the cat that is the expert on Ukraine. The foreign policy dudes, when they want to know about what's going on in Ukraine, they come talk to Al. They come talk to AV. They talk to the Vin man. He was unaware of the corruption investigation into Burisma Holdings. Really? Folks, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, Ed Klein was writing about, no, not Ed Klein, Secret Empires. He's also the guy that wrote Clinton Cash. Maybe it is Ed Klein. We all knew about this with Burisma. And then we found out about Bohai Harvest with Hunter Biden and whatever's going on in Romania. I haven't heard too much about that, but it's more the same, you know, play for pay kind of deal. So the deep state guys, the Hydra guys, don't like the fact that Donald Trump is negotiating with these dudes more directly than Hydra would like to see. Vindman's one of these guys. Jim Jordan does a terrific job of taking them apart, too, because these cats know. And I think this is, if I've got the right clip, there's also a little back and forth between Jordan and the shift head. Good Lord, where is it, man? Okay, here it is. Jim Jordan from today and his questioning of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Rindman.
I thank the ranking member. Colonel, I want to thank you for your service and sacrifice to our great country. This afternoon, your former boss, Mr. Morrison, is going to be sitting right where you're sitting, and he's going to testify. And I want to give you a chance. I think we're bringing you a copy. I want to give you a chance to respond to some of the things Mr. Morrison said in his deposition, page 82 of the transcript from Mr. Morrison. Mr. Morrison said this: I had concerns about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's judgment. Among the discussions I had with Dr. Hill in the transition was our team, its strength, its weaknesses, and Fiona and others had raised concerns about Alex's judgment. When Mr. Morris was asked by Mr. Castor, did anyone ever bring concerns to you that they believe Colonel Vindman may have leaked something, Mr. Morrison replied, yes. So your boss had concerns about your judgment. Your former boss, Dr. Hill, had concerns about your judgment. Your colleagues had concerns about your judgment. And your colleagues felt that there were times when you leaked information. Any idea why they have those impressions, Colonel Vindman?
Why would they say that, Alex?
Yes, Representative Jordan, I guess I'll start by reading Dr. Hill's own words, as she attested to in my last evaluation that was dated middle of July, right before she left. Alex is a top 1% military officer and the best Army officer I have worked with in my 15 years of government service. He is brilliant, unflappable, and exercises excellent judgment.
So
he was exemplary during numerous visits, so forth and so on, but I think you get the idea. Mr. Morrison, yeah, the date of that was...
What?
Let's see, I'm sorry. July 13th. So, Mr. Jordan, I would say that I can't say what why Mr. Morrison questioned my judgment. We had only recently started working together. He wasn't there very long, and we were just trying to figure out our relationship. Maybe
it was a different culture, military culture.
And, Colonel, you never leaked information?
Never. I never did, never would. That is preposterous that I would do that.
Okay. Colonel, it's interesting. We deposed a lot of people in the bunker in the basement of the Capitol over the last several weeks. But of all those depositions, only three of the individuals we deposed were actually on the now somewhat famous July 25th phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. There was you, the individual sitting beside you, Ms. Williams, and then there, of course, was your boss, Mr. Morrison, who I just read from his deposition. When we asked Ms. Williams, who she spoke to after the call about the call, she was willing to answer our questions, and chairmanship allowed her to answer our questions. When we asked Mr. Morrison, who he spoke to after the call about the call, he was willing to answer our question, and Mr. Schiff allowed, chairmanship allowed him to answer our question. But when we asked you, you first told us three individuals at the NSC, your brother and the two lawyers. And then you said there was a group of other people you communicated with, but you would only give us one individual in that group, Secretary Kent. And the chairman would only allow you to give us that name. When we asked you who else you communicated with, you would not tell us. So I want to know first, how many other people are in that group of people you communicated with outside the four individuals I just named?
Yes, Mr. Jordan, on call readout, certainly after the first call, there were probably a half a dozen or more people that I read out. Those are people with the proper clearance and the need to know. In this case, because of the sensitivity of the call and Mr. Eisenberg told me not to speak to anybody else, I only read out outside of the NSC two individuals, Das Kent and one other person.
And you're not willing to tell us who that other individual is?
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
The gentleman will suspend, counsel.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to enforce the rule with regard to disclosure, with regard to the intelligence.
You know, the special rule.
Thank you, counsel. You know, as I indicated before, this committee will not be used to out the whistleblower. That same
Mr. Chairman,
necessity
of protecting
the whistleblower.
Can you first stop the time so I don't lose the time?
Will persist. You are recognized again, Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see how this is outing the whistleblower. The witness has testified in his deposition that he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. You have said, even though no one believes you, you have said you don't know who the whistleblower is. So how is this outing the whistleblower to find out who this individual is?
Jordan, this is your time for questioning. You can use it any way you like, but your question should be addressed to the witness.
I'd like to.
And your question should not be addressed to trying to out the whistleblower.
Well, okay. Colonel Binman, there's another thing Mr. Morrison told us in his deposition. He said he was not concerned about the call itself. He said there was nothing illegal or improper on the call, but he was concerned about the call leaking, the contents of the call leaking.
Excuse me.
He said this. He was concerned how it would play out in Washington's polarized environment, how the contents would be used in Washington's political process. Mr. Morrison was right.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan. Could I get a page?
Excuse me.
Page 44.
Thank you.
Mr. Morrison was right. The call leaks. The whistleblower goes to Chairman Schiff, staff. Then he runs off to the lawyer, the same lawyer who said in January of 2017 the coup has started against President Trump. The one thing the Democrats didn't, one thing they didn't count on was the president releasing the call transcript and letting us all see what he said. They didn't count on that. Transcript shows no linkage. The two individuals on the call have both said no pressure, no pushing, no linkage with security assistance dollars to an investigation. Ms. Williams, after the call on the 25th, we know that Colonel Binman talked to several people. After the call on the 25th, how many people did you talk to about the call?
I did not speak to anybody about the call.
Didn't speak to anybody?
No.
Nobody. So
I yield back.
Mr. Himes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I ask unanimous consent to enter the Lieutenant Colonel's performance review into the record.
May I inquire of Colonel Binman whether you would like us to do that? If you would, we're happy to. If you would prefer it not be in the record, I leave that to you.
With redactions.
Yeah, I guess with redactions, it has PII in it, and that should be protected. And maybe the only elements that are relevant are the actual narrative.
Blah, blah, blah.
Did you read the relevant portions? Or?
I mean, that was the short version. There were some other paragraphs in there. But
Chairman, I'll withdraw my request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you both for your testimony. Ms. Williams, you joined the Foreign Service in 2006, correct?
Correct.
Prior to becoming a nonpartisan career official, you worked as a field representative.
Okay. That's enough of that. Anyway, you get the idea. These people... You know, aside from the fact that they hate Donald Trump, they just don't like the way he's doing things. They're mad because he used Rudy Giuliani as a kind of unofficial back channel between himself and President Zelensky. But what the hell? So what? During the Second World War, it frustrated the two command staffs of Roosevelt and Churchill that they oftentimes spoke very freely amongst one another in terms of information that they would share. And it got to the point where both of their chiefs of staff had to meet to establish an informal back channel to try and predict or help facilitate whatever it was that Churchill and Roosevelt had cooked up. Or find a way, you know, to discourage them from it. But so back channels happen all the time. It's they're just mad because up until this time, these guys have been the gatekeepers, self-appointed or otherwise. And Donald Trump doesn't, you know, he does business a little differently, and they hate him already. So it's rubbing them the wrong way that he's doing this. So all these people that they've called up are just people that, you know, they just don't like what he's doing. John Ratcliffe. It was last week when they were talking with George Kent and William Taylor. And it's good today. It would be good. They could ask this question of anyone who testifies. And they get
so,
the same thing.
In this impeachment hearing today, where we impeach presidents for treason or bribery or other high crimes, where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
Mr. Rex?
5 seconds. And those guys, you know, abadia, 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 abadia. They could ask that of Alexander Vindman. They could ask that of Kurt Volker. They could ask that of Paul Sondland. Doesn't matter who. They would get the same response. They can't name an impeachable offense because there is no impeachable offense. There are no high crimes. There is no misdemeanor. There's just, like I said, these. Self-insistent bitches. We will be back with more of ACP right after this. Going to play a little music, and then we're going to come back and talk about something else, I guess.
I've got a rocket in my pocket and a roll in my wall. Oh, baby, don't fuss me with a North 40 tone. There ain't nothing you can tell me I don't already know. I got a rocket in my pocket and I'm really good. Let's go someplace so we can rock the fit. I got a rocket in my pocket and the fuse is lit. Tell him everything. Man, that
could sing. Take the darn house and I wish you luck. There's a Hooter girl waiting in the pickup truck. About a 38D and about a 38 IQ. And if you try to save this marriage again, I kill you. If you try to save this marriage again, I kill you.
With our next guest, the Assumption.
We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
We heard that, Eric. Okay. James Bostic, conservative perspective here on Blog Talk, Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do it live, it would seem, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The pipes are sounding a bit on the rugged side, and I wish I could do something about it. I'm sorry that I can't, but we're almost done with the show. Based on how this thing has played out, and I expect will, you know, continue to play out. I don't want to say death spiral or tailspin or any of those kind of cliched words like that, but there's going to be a degradation. There's going to be a drop off. A decline in the people who are interested in this, because last Wednesday was supposed to be their blockbuster guys. Remember all the ballyhoo? Remember all the brouhaha? All the rhubarb? All the falderal? All the hoo-ha? George Clark Kent. See, I got it that time. And William Taylor. Those were supposed to be the two dudes. And they went in there and acted like basically they had no idea what Adam Schiff was talking about. And then they have this guy, this Alex Vindman, this Cartman in an army dress uniform. Hydra guy, and we're probably going to find out, given his placement within this group of people called the interagency. He's a functionary. He's a third, fourth level guy. He's a reference dude. Okay, the expert on the Ukraine, but he didn't know they were investigating Burisma for corruption. He was not aware of that. I'm aware of it now. I wasn't aware of it 2 years ago. Pete Schweitzer, God. Pete Schweitzer, Clinton Cash, and Secret Empires. I know, man. Ain't nothing wrong with my mind. Like a steel trap. Pete Schweitzer is the author there of Clinton Cash and of Hidden Empires, Secret Empires. And he was unaware of it. He did not. The Ukraine expert, our National Security Council interagency, Star Chamber Justice Friends group relies on this guy who did not know or was not aware of anything concerning the rest of us knew it 2 years ago that were paying attention to Breitbart. Hell. But he's their cat, man. He's the dude. He's the Ukrainian guy. He's our man in Ukraine. He Heal me, Jesus. So they trot him out. He has this love letter from, you know, whatever his, you know, he got an evaluation from his Hydra superior, which was naturally glowing because they're Hydra agents doing what Hydra does. I mean, apparently Hydra has a human resources division, so they
who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about
okay,
this.
Okay, all right, never mind. I just thought it was just that. That's how smart these guys are. That's what we got. That's what's pulling the strings. That's what's walking the halls of power in our nation's capital. Guys like Alex Vindman. Hydra. Adam Schiff. Nancy Pelosi. Jerry the Jowls. Okay, this is how... This is the brains, this is the Brainiac Five behind this impeachment inquiry through the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. This is Adam Schiff.
Hi, all right. I'm going to put Mr. Schiff on the phone, and then I guess are you going to transfer him to Mr. Parubi?
Yes, of course.
Great, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Schiff. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I know that you work for investigation regarding Trump and Russian government.
Yes.
We know some information about that.
And that is documented as well in materials you want to provide to us?
Yes. Could I explain you where we are?
Yes, of course. But, you know, again, I would just caution that our Russian friends may be listening to the conversation, so I wouldn't share anything over the phone that you don't want them to hear.
No, I don't think that it will impact on our investigation.
No problem.
Yes.
It's all right.
Please,
listen.
Go ahead then.
In November 2013, Mr. Trump visited
November.
Moscow. He visited a competition Miss Universe, and there he met with Russian journalist and celebrity Ksenia Sobchak.
I'm sorry, can you explain that again? While he was in Moscow in November 2013, he met with a journalist and
well, she's poor journalist. But anyway, she became...
She's not good.
Of, Putin is her godfather.
Okay, Putin is a godfather. Okay.
She's also known as a person who provides girls for escort for oligarchs. And she met with Trump and she brought him one-hour Russian girl, celebrity Olga Buzova, who also known as
Olga.
A person with a strange reputation.
Olga, and how do you spell her name?
Olga Buzova.
Any pictures of her?
Right, Olga Buzova is a friend of the reporter Sobchak?
Yes,
no,
she
is whore.
Reporter, and I think the
she acquires whore for President Trump.
Ksenia Sobchak.
That
oh
Sobchak is or Olga is?
No, Sobchak is Ksenia.
Okay.
Listen,
so
you American idiot.
Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe.
Yes.
Pageant.
Absolutely, and she
absolutely,
got
yes.
compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Short relations, but I have very
okay.
big hands. I think that tells you right there.
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Naked Trump. Did you hear Adam Schiff just suck his breath in? Make it Trump. Oh, my God.
And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Putin knows everything. Vladimir knows all.
Sobchak and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a...
He is fearless leader.
Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
This is... well, these guys are... full of crap,
and,
but Schiff is buying this.
The materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course.
Sure, of course they would.
They
we have pictures. Naked Trump.
We got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Lusova, where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
And absolutely. We have it all. We have everything.
A mediator between Trump and Russian government who met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was a Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Ukupnik, who met
Arkadio.
Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn in a special Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Okay. And
it's a special, it's a Russian district in Brooklyn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they...
they talked about
special,
many things.
They used a special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, weather is good on Deribasovskaya.
Weather
it rains.
Is good?
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa.
And he's writing crap down. And
did you hear?
Yes, I did. So it's a street in Odessa.
His eyes are probably twice as big as they normally are.
On Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya. Deribasovskaya.
Deribasovskaya.
Yeah.
Skaya. Okay. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings
and
more details on
yes. And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes. On that meeting, Ukupnik told Flynn that all those compromising materials will never release if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
Okay.
No one ever has to know.
Welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings. So we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
Of course, we will provide you all our
yes,
copies
we will
of
help
all
with everything.
Our materials, but I also would like to let you
complete
know that
cooperation.
We will pretty soon visit our country, and we could arrest them and deliver them to your embassy, and you also could... We also could extradite them to your country, and you can put them to your special jail, Guantanamo.
Well, I'll be in touch with the FBI about this, and we'll make arrangements with your staff. I think it probably would be best to provide these materials to both our committee and to the FBI. And so we'll make arrangements between my staff and yours on how to facilitate that. And we'll also obviously let the FBI know about Lusova and Sovchek's planned travel to Ukraine.
I also advise you to check all Sovchek's visits in the U.S. because she was in the U.S. very often, and just to check what she did there, actually. And I also would like to look at the Russian cafe on Brighton Beach, Langeron, and especially on their head of Russian mafia, Uncle Misha.
Uncle Misha?
Yes.
He's in Brighton Beach?
So why do you want to drag Uncle Misha
into
this?
He's
no part of it.
On that restaurant on Brighton
Poor
Beach.
Poor Misha, every time he goes out, they try to pull him back in.
Just look at them, please.
Alrighty.
Oh, my God.
Good. This is very helpful. I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I hope that my information will be useful for you and your committee. And I also would like to advise you when
comedy.
You or your colleagues
yeah,
will
comedy.
Meet Mr. Trump, I advise you to tell him first part of the password on the weather is good on Deribasovskaya and look
yes.
how his face will change the color.
And so those passwords were used with Mr. Trump?
Yes, correct.
Yes, they were.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We will be back in touch with you through our staff to make arrangements to obtain these materials for our committee and for the FBI, and I appreciate you reaching out to us.
Well, let's be in touch, and I will wait for your response from FBI.
Excellent. I'll have them follow up as soon as possible, and I thank you again.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
What a maroon. What a screwball. What a nutbag. What a fruitcake. What a bag of donut holes. He bought that. He bought that. Hook, line, and sinker. And how those guys could keep a straight face, I'm damned if I know. But they did. And he bought it. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Because as soon as this was published, as soon as it came out, his immediate statement was, well, we knew it all along. We were just playing with along and having fun. I knew that these guys. Yeah. You heard him. You heard that sharp little intake of breath when they said the pictures of naked Trump. Remember the last 2 weeks? That stupid son of a bitch has been the most important man in Washington, D.C. Adam B. Schiff. Adam Bull Schiff. Adam Schiff of Brains. Bull Schiff. And this Schiff show. That guy that got titillated at the thought of pictures of naked Trump is now running the game, man. Running the game. You dig? How does this happen? Seriously, how does this happen? You know, it reminds me of the story of John Brennan. Did you know that in 1976, John Brennan voted for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate, Gus Hall, and then later became director, Central Intelligence Agency? Yeah. How the hell does that happen? Adam Schiff worked up over the idea of getting pictures of naked Trump. Maxine Waters. Well, hell, I mean, what do we say there? I mean, it's just Maxine Waters. And you know, and Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, any of them. These people are not mental giants. The founders would be, if Thomas Jefferson were alive, if John Adams were alive today, if George Washington were alive today, they would run through both houses of Congress like Jesus, running the moneylenders out of the temple. Tables would be overthrown, people would be getting kicked and booted and shirt collared and tossed and drugged, and there would be some sand raised up because these people are dumbasses. Wait a minute, I thought you said they self-insistent bitches. Okay, dumbass self-insistent bitches. It's all the same. But we can't deny it any longer. We just can't deny it any longer. We can't. We just got to call it what it is. How did we get to this pass? Now, I know that we're talking right now. We're focusing on Hydra, and we're focusing on the Marxist progressive left. But there are people just as equally stupid on the Republican side. Hello, Paul Ryan. Hello, John Boehner. How did we get here? How did things... It's like Don Corleone when he's meeting with the five families. How did things go so far? I think it's so far out of hand. It lies with us. It lies with us. It lies with you and me and our neighbors and the kid that takes our money at the drive-thru or the dude that's delivering the pizza. It's all of us. Are we capable of being vigilant enough to, I don't know. Well, we'll find. Anyway, down at the bottom of the hour, and I'm not going to ruminate too long on it. But one thing's for sure, we got some dumbass self-insistent bitches up there calling the shots, and we probably need to be worried. We live in interesting times. James Bostic for Conservatives Perspective. We'll be back. Let me see. Wait a minute. Tuesday. Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. And we'll be looking forward to talking to you then. You guys be cool.